Today's daf is daf Chof, Mesechet Sanhedrin, the second parak, Kohen Gadol. And it's actually, we're holding really in the middle of the first Mishnah, but we've split it up and we're going to begin what to us is the second Mishnah. But it's right smack bang in the middle of discussing the same dinim of the Melech that we're discussing with the Kohen Gadol. The first part of the Mishnah discussed the Kohen Gadol's position in the case where Met Lo Met, Machloket Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, about whether he's Yotzei at all. And when it comes to a Melech, continues now today's Halakha Commissioner, Met Lo Met, Eino Yotzei Mipetach Platrin Shalom. So if somebody dies in his family, he does not leave the palace at all. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im Rotzei Latzei Tachar Hamita Yotzei. If he desires to be at the funeral, he can do so. Shekein Matzino B'David. We find actually a historical basis for this. Because David HaMelech was Yotzei Achar Mitato Shel Avner. We find that he was very active in the funeral of Avner. Shene'emar V'HaMelech David Alech Achar Hamita. Omrulo, they told Rabbi Yehuda that that was a very special situation. It certainly cannot be held up as a model to the behavior of a melech at a funeral. Lo haya hadavar ela lefayes et ha'am. The whole issue over there was to show that he had nothing to do with the murder of Avner. And we'll see later on in the Gemara that he actually did rather strange things at that funeral. He was walking back and forth between the men and the women and talking to people and showing them how distressed he was. And so it was clearly a move to make something absolutely clear to the people that he had nothing to do with his death. And we'll see some diukim in the posik that also indicate how important it was for him to make that move. Now, before when it came to the Kohen Gadol, so it said there that he sat on a stool. And here by the Melech it says that the Melech sits on a dargash. It's not clear what exactly is that. I think Gemara is going to discuss it. Tana Rabbana, Makom shenahagu nashim latzeit achar hamita yotzot, lifnei hamita yotzot. So here says the Braita that there are actually two different minhagim, places where the women go after the mita, and sometimes the women go in front of the mita. So for them to go achar hamita makes a great deal of sense because it's considered to be a pigia in the tzniut of women to have men staring at them from behind them. And therefore, it's their kavod to walk in a place where they will not be stared at by men. However, there's also a mekom to have them walk in front. First of all, because you could say that in a place where it's a funeral and people are being mitzayer, the people are not that involved in enjoying the women. That's already perhaps a little unlikely, as we saw from the Gemara in Sukkah. But you'd be surprised. But as the Yerushalmi points out, that when it comes to death, then women have a primary place, because after all, they were the beginning of the Eitz HaDaat. So that way, it's a reminder of the entire history of how it is that we came to be mortal. And so the women should go in front. So there's both of these minhagim, says the Braita, are acceptable. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, well, actually, le'olam nashim lifnei hamita yotzot. The only makor we have in the Torah is that women should be walking in front of the mita. Sheken matzino b'David, sheyatza achar mitato shel Avner. Because one of the other things we can learn out from the story of David is that it says there that he followed the bier of Avner, which implies that he was, I mean, I would assume, with the men, not with the women. So it must be that the women were in front. Shenehemar v'hamelech David holech achar hamita. Amrula, they said to Rabbi Yehuda, that's not true. He was walking with the women. And lo haya hadavar ela lefayes et ha'am v'nitpaisu. It was important for him to be with the men and with the women. And that's what the pasuk is stressing. Shehaya David yotzei mibein ha'anashim v'nichnas v'bein ha'anashim v'yetzei mibein ha'anashim v'nichnas v'bein ha'anashim shenemar v'yedu kol ha'am v'cho Yisrael. So it was essential for the men and the women both to see the distress of David after the murder of Avner. Darash Rava, Maidichti, Vayavokala Amla Havrot et David. Now, Lahavrot, in our version of the pasuk, there is not a kri and a ktiv here, but very often the Gemara speaks about kri and ktiv that we don't have in our Sfarim, which according to some is an indication just that we're not bekiyim in kri and ktiv. But some are masber that when the Gemara does this, it doesn't mean necessarily that it was literally a kri of ktiv, but rather that there's sometimes when words are similar to each other, so we're doreshit, that there's two levels. So lahavrot is actually very similar to lahachrot, and lahachrot would of course mean to cut him down, and lahavrot means to show that he was one of the avelim and to bring him the food that one would bring to an avel. So ktiv lahachrot, karina lahavrot, it is an indication that there was an ambivalence there. B'tchila lahachroto, when people suspected that he might have been behind the treacherous murder of Avneru, after all had come in order to make peace between him and the whole machane of Bnei Binyamin, and here he gets murdered for his efforts. So this was a horrible, horrible thing. If there was any involvement whatsoever of David's CIA with the murder, so Memela, when they saw the extent at which he was emotionally distraught, and he was walking indeed between the women and between the men, so then Besof Lavroto, they came to participate in his distress. So they were fully convinced that he had nothing to do with it. That's what we're saying. You can't see from here that necessarily has to be one way or another. You're saying achar hamitaz, because he was both with men and women. Omer of Yudam Rav, mipnei man ne'enash Avner. Why indeed did this horrible thing happen to Avner, that he was murdered so treacherously? Mipnei sha'ayalo limchot b'sha'ul v'lomicha. It's because he should have stopped the murder of Nov Yir HaKohanim, or according to some of the Rishonim, he should have prevented the chasing of David, and he didn't. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, he tried. Micha, he did. He objected. V'lo na'ana. But Shaul refused. And of course, there was the whole story with Ad Nov. So it says that they took off their badges and they said, look, you know, the only thing you have on us is a nice uniform. The hell with your uniform. They threw it in front of him and said, we're not going to do it. So the king turned to Doeg and said to Doeg, okay, you started this. You finish it. But Enochinami, there was no response to their mecha'ah. And both of them have a remez in the pasuk that they understand in different ways. It's the same pasuk. It says, "Vaykonen hamelech al Avner, vayomar hachemot naval yamut Avner, yadecha lo asurot v'raglecha lo nenuchushtayim ugashu kinfol lifnei bnei avla nafalta." So, what exactly does it mean when it says your hands weren't tied? Your hands weren't tied. There's two ways of understanding this. So, man yomer lo micha. One who says that he didn't do his best to prevent it. What David was saying was, look, your hands weren't tied. You could have done something. You didn't do anything. Yodecha lo asurot, raglecha lo nuchushtayim ugashu. It's not as if your legs were in irons. My time alo machita, why did you not do anything about it? And therefore, can it fall if nebnei avla nafalta? And that's the reason that this is to happen to you. Whereas mandiyama micha velo na'ana, the other mandiyama says on the contrary, atmuya mitameya. David HaMelech was pointing out how this is so treacherous that it runs against all of our sense of justice. Hakamot naval yamut, shel avner the tzaddik die. The way a naval dies, yadecha lo asurot, you didn't keep your hands tied. You tried your best. Raglecha lo nechushtayim, michte b'chuyo machita. You did do your best to stop it. My time, can a fall of nebnei avla nafalta. Why then have you fallen today as the lowest? The mandiyomer micha. So indeed, according to the mandiyomer, that he was moche in Shaul. Why did this happen to him? My time, yanish. Omer Reb Nachman Reb Yitzchak Sheshaha Malchut Beit David Shtei Shalim Umechts. It's because of the fact that it was his fault that Malchut Beit David was put off 2.5 years because of his insistence on going ahead and being Molech Ishboshet for those extra years. Because Tosfos asks, what do you mean? But I mean that was a drash of a pasuk. Malachim Yimcha Yetzeu. He darshened that originally the Nevi'ah was that there need to be more than one Melech from Binyamin. So I mean, why wasn't he right to do that? So this is not up to him to decide who that's going to be. It could have been at any time. There could have been a melech from Binyamin, maybe later on, maybe instead of Yeravam. I mean, it's not up to you to define history. Say that since it was Shaul's, and you know that HaKadosh Baruch was Moiz b'Shaul's, so therefore it has to be Shaul's son. Maybe it's something else. So Memela, that's not an excuse. Now, precisely what the 2.5 years are, that's not clear. Rashi learns that the entire period of the 2.5 years occurs between the death of Shaul, so that what we have over here is the 7.5 years that he is in Hebron. He's not being Molech on Yisrael. So who's being Molech on Yisrael? So Ishboshet was king now for 2.5 years. That means that for 5 years, anyway, they were without a Melech. Right? Because he didn't take over, really, for 5 other years. So Rashi learns that this was afterwards. There was a period of 5 years, which they didn't get anything together. He wasn't able to be the Melech. So Tosfos Tainis, but if that's the case, then there was no Melech. It was clear that he wasn't succeeding in becoming a Melech HaYisrael. So then how would we have a Taina against Avner? That's not considered to be a delay. Who's to say there would be any change? No, therefore, he doesn't like that shot. So he tines that on this period was a chatzi shana only between the malchut Shaul and the malchut of Ishbosheth.
Is it different years?
No, he puts the 2 years at the end. It took 2 years to get them back together. So according to him, it's not the same. It was a period that was separated. So it ends up being a total of 2.5 years. So why would he mention it in his hesped? You're asking?
Yeah.
You mean you want to bring a riot from here to all the crazies that come into the Beis HaAvel that already have it all figured out, why the guy died and what happened and so on and so forth, as is now the minhag of the great insight of the rabbis? And it's hardly likely. There's no more idiotic thing to speak about in the Batei HaAvel than what the idiots speak about today. It's absolutely outrageous. But this is a unique situation over here in which what is the involvement of Malchus Beis David in Avner that he should give this hesped? I mean, even on the face of it, it's a very strange thing. This is like the big enemy, you know, and what is this, a political move? So obviously he has to discuss the issues, otherwise the whole thing is a fake. It's bad enough that any hesped has in its sense of fakery because of the way people talk. And as the Gemara says, you know, that there's terrible unction on people that give these ridiculous hespedim. You don't see them anymore, but you only see the ridiculous hespedim. You don't see the unction, I guess. But it was necessary for him to be truthful.
Of course.
This is what I'm addressing, okay? But Lamaisa, it's a sar v'gadol, shenafal hayom b'Yisrael, that he needs to make it clear to people. The whole situation is a very, very delicate situation. If people would get the sense that in any way he was exaggerating and not being completely forthright about his relationship to Avner, then there would be no way that he could persuade them that he wasn't behind it, right? So it's not such a pella that he says things that may not be appropriate in other circumstances.
Can't come off
as the arse. Oh boy, that would be terrible. Huh? Here you see he really succeeded in persuading people. That you don't find. You don't find anywhere that there was a taina against him that he was a fake about these issues. People didn't try to read that into him. So he must have done a darn good job. Yeah, okay. In any event, so we have these two approaches. Ukishimavrinoto. Now here we switch to what it is that he sits upon, the king, in a case where he's an Avel. It says he sits upon this Dargash, or this Dargesh. What is that exactly? My Dargash, Omar Ula, it's an Arsa de Gada. Arsa is Aramaic for bed. Gada is Aramaic for the gods, which is really the makor of the English word God. God essentially meant, as it did in Shevet God, it meant mazal. The gods, so to speak, with the gods be on your side. It's like a sign of good luck. So there's actually a question. Is it mutter to have a bed for good luck? What does that mean? Like the malach of the good luck is supposed to sit on this bed. It was a bed that was kept, made, and looking beautiful that nobody ever sat on. And it was an indication that there should be good luck in the house. So there are some Rishonim or a Masbir that a home that is dirty has in it, as the Gemara says, the sar shel aniyut. There's nothing that poverty likes more than filth. So to indicate the level of the beauty of the home, the care for the home, this was an indication that it was a successful home. That's not ours of the Gada. By having a beautiful bed that's always made and that looks like a high-class home, you're saying that there's no place in this bayit for poverty and for dirt and so on. So it wasn't a getter of kishuv for nichush. It was a straightforward indication of a high-class home. Sorry? I don't know what language you're trying to talk, but I'm not catching the word. okay. we'll get Nani in here. It's very popular, but I think it's going down. But maybe it's something like that. Amrei Rabbanan Le'ula. Say the Rabbanan Le'ula, does that make sense? I mean, you're saying if it's an Arsa de Gada, then it's something that would never be used under normal circumstances. I'm going to take the Avel, and we're going to put him on the Hatzi-Tatzi bed. I mean, the whole point is that the Avel is supposed to look like he's less unusual, no? So Amrei Rabbanan Le'ula, Miki, Miri, the Ada, the Lo, Tvini. Well, I don't understand. Until now, we wouldn't have used this to sit on. But now, the Avel, in his state of misery, is put onto the house of the Gada. Matki Florova, I mean, what is so strange about that? Don't we put the Avel into a special position? My Kusha, I mean, Dioma Miridavi Achila Vishtia. Look, we're coming and bringing him a meal. This is a man that certainly we don't wait on him hand and foot in normal circumstances. And so you'll say, so now that he's an Avel, we should wait on him. Does that make sense? Yes, it does make sense, because it's the support that humans give to the human condition. So Adarabba, at this moment, we see him as the one that needs the most support and the one that we most appreciate and understand what he's going through. So what's so strange about putting him on the Arz of the Gada? So just like Achila Vishtia Da'ada Idna Loach Dume, Vloach Kinet, till today, where we're sitting here and bringing him food and drink. But today, in his worst state, maybe that itself is part of the whole issue of the relationship to the Avelut, is to show him that pain and Avelut is part of being human and that all of humanity supports him. El Ikash Arkash. What's problematic is that the description of Arsa de Gada as the Dargash doesn't add up. Why? Because it says, even though normally an Avel is required to be kofet hamita, and he has to be kofet not only the mita, turn upside down, the beds in the home, not only the bed that he uses personally to sleep on the ground, so to speak, put his mattress on the ground, but all of the beds that are in the house. And it says that the dargash, that there is no chiyuv to turn now the dargash upside down. What he does is he simply takes it and leans it against the wall on its thinner side. So if you're telling me that it's really a bed, it's just a bed that is used as a sign of mazal, so amai eno tzarech lichfoto. I thought the din is vatanya. I thought the din is that any bed, even a bed that is not in use, is meant to be turned upside down. So you're telling me it's an aris of the God, and we don't really think the gods are on the bed, so therefore it's a useless bed. No. So what? Even a useless bed is turned upside down, no? That's not a problem. I mean, a useless bed in the sense that it's a bed available for guests and so on, but not. I mean, my kushidum, I mean, having a mitim yochadet lekelim. I mean, look, there are beds which end up really being counters in which you store stuff on. You certainly don't have to turn those beds upside down and throw all your kitchens or whatever things you have on that bed. Those are not beds. So an Arsa de Gada that's not meant to be slept on is not a bed. It's a storage area, you could say. And just like it says in the Braita, the Ktani, a bed that is set aside for usage other than to sleep on is not called a bed and doesn't require kfiat amita. So that's not a problem. As far as that is concerned, the dargash may well be an Arsa de Gada. The problem is this. Elikasha Hakasha, that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, he says that the dargash, you do have to deal with it. And how do you deal with it as an avel? your matir karbitin, who nofel me'elav. You let the loops that are holding up the sleeping area, you undo the loops, and then it just falls to the ground. You don't turn it upside down. Now, the problem is here, logistically, if you're talking about a dargash as an arsa degada, where the heck are these karbitin? A normal bed doesn't have loops that you can undo the loops, and then the sleeping surface falls down. I mean, there are cots like that, but that's not a mita. So, therefore, it's clear that a dargash cannot be an arsa degada, because then there wouldn't be any loops. So, we've got a problem, because isakadaitach arsa degada, where are these karbitin from? Karbitin mihitle, there are no such things. Ella, therefore, we have to change our understanding of what a dargash is. Kiata Ravin, when Ravin came now, he said that Amarli Ahumi Rabbanan, and when I was out there in Eretz Yisrael, his name was Rav Tachlifa Shmei, and he used to be an expert. He had a lot of business in the Shuk at the Gildoy, in the leather makers' shuk. That was a special area where the diamond district, they had the leather makers' district. And the Amarli, or Amarle, they explained to him, my dargash and arsadat sala. What it is actually a leather bed. Now, a leather bed, what that is actually a type of cot. So they would have a leather surface, which would have now, through it, through the sides, there would be strings that would allow you to tie it to a wooden frame where it would then be pulled tight and you could lie on it so that if you release the loops, it would then fall to the ground. And that would explain actually why is it that we wouldn't want to be kof for the dargash, because the dargash would be very sensitive to being lying on the ground. The leather would become wet and would get ruined. So in order not to force a person to wreck the whole thing, so they said you don't turn it upside down the way you would a normal mita. And therefore you put it up on its side. My shenken, according to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, you'd have to release the frame and let it collapse. So that must be what it's talking about. Look, it's not that a bed doesn't have a frame that supports the sleeping surface. It does. But the difference is that the dargash is the sirugo mitocho, and the mita is siruga mi'algaba. Now, this is not going to hold up, as we'll see. But the way in which you tie the strings around the frame on a normal bed, what you do is you tie the strings around the frame on top of the frame, so that the frame is covered by the strings, or the, I shouldn't call them strings, it's a nice weave, but the whole thing, you know, you see things like this, which what do you call those weaves, the furniture that's
wicker,
right? So you have that kind of thing in which the bamboo is pulled around the frame, and you see the entire frame is covered. All you see is the strands. I don't know what straps or whatever. Or you find the same thing on certain types of lawn furniture, where you have the straps going over the actual frame itself. So the mitah, the straps go across the frame, and the dargash, there are holes in the pieces of wood, and you pull the strings through and you tie it there, and that way the piece of leather is supported. But you don't have now a permanent, complex weave of straps on top of a frame. Says the Gemara, that's impossible. I'll prove it to you. Meitve. Kli eitz me'imatay mekablim tum'ah. Now we know, in order for a kli to be yored to a situation where it's able to be mekabel tum'ah, it has to be completed. And if you still intend to do something to it, to complete it, it's not yet ro'u lekabel tum'ah. So now the Mishnah attempts to define here the different types of kelim, and it says that when it comes to a normal mita or to an arisa, which is a child's crib, the last thing that you do is you give it a very fine finish through sandpapering it, and the finest sandpaper is the skin of a fish. They used to use the scales on the fish to make a fine finish. So, mishi yeshufeim be'or hadag, when it's finished properly and sanded down all the way, then it's already Roy Lekabel Tumah. Now, for heaven's sakes, why would anybody do something like that if you're going to have these strands that are covering the entire frame anyway? This is a tremendous amount of work. So it would be silly to have something that's never going to be exposed covered with these strands of bamboo or whatever you're going to be using, and to take the effort of sandpapering it with a number 10 sandpaper. Why in the world would you use such a fine finish? So that can't be the pshat. Ella, we have to say that indeed there is a difference. The difference is exactly what explains the idea of loosening the loops. The difference is this. Both of them are tied through the wood. That's for sure. But the point is that the mitah is auli ve'afuke bibizuni. What you have is you have woods, a notch that goes down the entire frame. Inside that notch you have holes that are drilled. And you have the straps going into the hole, out the next hole, into the hole, like a shoelace. And they're permanently in there. And you never take them out. So there's obviously plenty of frame that needs to be sandpapered. Masha Enkein, when it comes to the dargash, there you don't have the actual straps. You have strings that have a loop at the end for you to attach the strings of the dargash to, of the leather, and that can be loosened. So there's two stages. And at that point, the dargash itself is alui ve'afuki be'afkata. That goes through now the loops that are attached to the bed itself, but you can always now detach the leather from it. Omri Yaakov, Omri Yeshua ben Levi, Halachak, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, that's actually how we pass, because you have to loosen the loops. Omri Yaakov Barami, Mita Shenakliteh Yotzin, if you have a canopy bed. So the canopy bed has in it, obviously, something to support a canopy on the other side. There's no way to turn it upside down. But what you can do is, you deal with it the same way you would deal with the dargash in the bit of Tanakama. Zokfa, the dayo. So you can't turn it upside down, because it's going to, if it's a single naklit on either end, obviously it'll just fall over to its side. And if it's two, it's just going to be a little silly. It's not going to land on the floor. It's going to be supported by the edges. So what you do is you lift it up on its small side, lean it against the wall.
Okay,
Umotzi continues on now. The dinim of the melech. Shikamar is only going to ask. I mean, this is something that is a mission we discussed before. Umotzi lemilchemet harashut al pi beitin shavim v'echad. So somehow we're repeating over here the original mishnah about what we need shavim v'echad for in the first parak. Uporetz lasot lo derech veimim achev yado. He can utilize the rishus of eminent domain and break through private property in order to build a highway, and you can't stop him. And as far as the width of that road, derech hamelech in lo shiur, as wide as he feels is necessary. And in war, kol ha'am bozezin, everybody goes and takes the booty, and they first present it to the melech. He takes the first of the booty. We'll see how much he's allowed to take in the bright and the Gemara. Says the Gemara, wait. Shivin ve'chat, tanina chalazim. That's the, we had this way before. Ein mo'tzin le'b'chemet ha'rashut ela api beitin shivin ve'chat. Why are we repeating it again? Yeah, that's because now, I did a tana call mili, the melech tanina mo'tzin le'b'chemet ha'rashut. You're right. It's not a din in beit din here. Before we said it's a din in beit din. Here, it's a din in the melech. Omer of Yudah Meshbu, kol ha'amur, b'parshat melech, melech mutarbo. All of the terrible things that Shmuel HaNavi was telling the Bnei Yisrael, okay, you want a king, just be prepared for what he's going to do. He's going to take your kids and make them masters of the house and all of your property that he wants to take, he'll take. And all of those things are actually mitzad adin. A melech can deal with them lechatchila. So tainas Shmuel of all people, and there are rishonim lemaisa that understand parshas haMelech as not being the parsha of Shmuel, but being the parsha in the Torah of Melech. But it's a das more of a das amiyut. The parsha is referring to Shmuel. In which case, Tosfos asks, so why was Achav punished? I mean, he wanted the Kerem to vote, so one of the things that Shmuel said is that you're allowed to take, he'll take your finest fields. So what's wrong? So Achav wanted it, he wanted it. So Lamaisa, many Rishonim are Masber. It doesn't mean he can arbitrarily take for himself what he wants. He can take for the needs of those who are doing the work of the Malchut. He could take what is necessary for them. But he had Stam decide, I want to have a nice garden, the way Achav says to Navot, you know, I'm interested in having a beautiful place to walk around in. I mean, it's very nice of you, but there's other approaches as well. One is that he wanted it for Avodah Zorah, and that's why he stresses the garden. That's Mitkat Shiva, Batarim, Baganot. It's a reference to Avodah Zorah. Others learn that it's only a Sedei Mikne, not a Nachala, that a Melech would have had a Rishus, even according to the Parshas HaMelech. Things that you bought, but not things that are Nachla, and that would explain why Navot indeed says, Chalilali, what I'm going to give Nachalat Avotai. Nachalat Avotai you don't give to the king. Fine, but Lamaisev would be mutter, and then it would be a good question. Also, Tosis has an interesting teretz, which is that Achav never said, I want it as a melech. He said, I want to buy it. So if you say you want to buy it, so now I have a right to refuse you. That's what Navot told him. You're coming to talk business. I'm not interested in selling. If you'll tell me as a melech that you want to take it, so I won't be married. It's also a fight, but we're getting there. So that's Shmuel's approach. Rav Amar, Rav says it's not the way a melech is meant to be noyik. Lo nemra parsha zu elala ayim aleihem. This is meant to scare Bnei Yisrael into recognizing what they're getting into. Shmuel wants to give them the sense of how much that Ema is meant to be. Kitanoi. Rabbi Yossi omer kol amur b'parshat melech, melech mutar bo. Rabbi Yudah omer lo nemra parshat zu ala kidei la'ayem aleihem. Shnemar som tasim alecha melech, shetei ematu alecha, but it's not the lechatchila minhag of a melech. V'chein haya Rabbi Yudah omer. Shalosh mitzvot nitztavu Yisrael v'chnisatan la'aretz. Now, obviously, as Rashi points out, I mean, there's many mitzvot. I mean, all of the dinim, trumas, maizras, I mean, the various mitzvot, there are only nogea in Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi says the point over here is that since there's a seder to doing this mitzvot, we mention them. But I mean, Lamaisa, it's really not much of a problem since the other mitzvot are mitzvot ha-tluyot ba'aretz. Here the Chiddush is that they're mitzvot that are not tluyot ba'aretz, but nonetheless are tluyot ba'aretz in a sense, in that we see them as part of the Knesset Eretz Yisrael.
Isn't, yeah, this is our saying that way, huh? Ayak yavo, like when you come in the land.
Yeah. What's the question?
As opposed to being a mitzvot tluyot ba'aretz, a mitzvot that are a good part.
Well, but it says that about Bikurim as well. It says, I mean, and what are they? La'amid lahem melech, la'achrit zaro shel amalek, v'livnot lem beit ha'bechira. So the truth is, as we pointed out yesterday in our Nevi'im discussion, is that the actual Knesset La'aretz is only completed with these mitzvot. So the livnot lem beit ha'bechira is the end of Knesset La'aretz, in which case, bechlal, there's no problem in understanding what Rashi was bothered with. This means that these are the way in which one does Knesset La'aretz, not stam mitzvahs that you have to do once you're Knesset La'aretz. Rabbi Nuhurai Omer, lo nemra parashazo, ela kenegatar umotam. This parasha of what it is that you are going to get into with a melech, this is the machloket tanoim, that it's also for the fact that you said it in such a ridiculous way. Because you said, Asim alai melech, and I want to be kechol agoyim. And that's tar'omet. Tanya Rebbe Eliezer, remember the truth is, zikenim shebedor kahogin shalom. If you take a look at the request for the melech, at least it was done decently by the zikenim. Because they only said, t'na lanu melech l'shoftenu. It's the amei ha'aretz shebehem kilkelu. And they said, "Va'yino gam anachtu kekol aguyim v'shofteinu malkeinu v'yaitzei lefaneinu." And the truth is that that's not what we want the Malach for. Tanya Rabbi Yossi Omer Shalosh Mitzvot Nitztavu Yisrael b'Knisatan La'aretz. The Braita goes into more detail. There are three mitzvot. One is la'amid la'melech, la'achrit zaro shel amalek, levnot lam beit ha'bechira. Ve'eini yodei eze mehem techila. Now you would say, "Okay, I understand there's three mitzvot." But how do we know the order of the mitzvah? Well, kishomer ki yad al keska milchama la'Hashem ba'amalek. So that means that you need the keska first, and that is la'amid la'melech techila. Why do I say that? Because Ein Kisei El HaMelech, the word Kisei, is a reference to the Melech. Because we find in Divrei HaYamim, it says, Vayeshev Shlomo al Kisei Hashem LaMelech Tachat David Aviv. So that means that the Kiska has to be a reference to the presence of the Kisei on earth. And Memela, before Melchemet Amalek, there needs to be a king. Ve'adayin eini yodea. Im livnot lom bet abechira techila olach rit zaro shel Amalek techila, but which of the two, Amalek or bet abechira, comes first? Kishu omer v'iniach lachem mikoloi vechem. Since it says in the mitzvah itself that it's only after you are no longer have any more enemies, then amakom ashivchar Hashem elokeichem molashaken shmo shama. That will be the place. Clearly, you need to finish up the war first. We see that David HaMelech was only mitorer to build the Beit HaMikdash after he completed Milchemet Amalek. So then it says, Vayomer HaMelech al Natan HaNavi, Reina Anochi Yoshev v'Beit HaRazim, and the Aron Brit Hashem is still in an Ohel. Omer Reish Lakish, B'tchila Malach Shlomo al HaElyonim, Shnemar. We find that Shlomo HaMelech, when he first took over, and we just brought it, he was al Kisei Hashem. So indeed, Vayeshev Shlomo al Kisei Hashem is an indication that he was Melech even on the Pamalya Shomala. Ulebesof Malach al HaTachtonim. But then we find that he's only spoken of, this was before he took Bat Paro. Before he took Bat Paro, he was in a matzav, as we spoke about yesterday, in a matzav of total malchut. But in the end, he went down a darga, and it says there, ki hu rodeh b'chol ever ha-nahar mitifsach v'adaza. Even though he was rodeh on all sides, but it was only mitifsach v'adaza, which is a little strange. So indeed, that's a machlok, is Rav Shmuel. Chadomar tivsach besof olam, v'aza besof olam, v'chadomar tivsach v'aza b'adei adodei aviyatve, that relatively speaking, even though tivsach was on Nahar Prat, and Aza was closer to Nahal Mitzrayim, but to talk about a worldwide malchut and to say tivsach v'aza is a little weird. But it means, kishem shemalach al tivsach v'aza, kach malach al kol olam kulo. And that was the second stage. But then later we find that he went down further. And then later on, we find that he was Lo Malachel al Yerushalayim, Shenemar Divrei Kohelet ben David Melech b'Yerushalayim. Why only Melech b'Yerushalayim? Ulebesof Lo Malachel al Mitato, Shenemar Hinei Mitato Sheli Shlomo Shishim Giborim Savivlo. So the only malchut that he really had was his own bed. And in the end, Lebesof Lo Malachel al Maklo. So then, after taking all of the Nashim and Ochriot and the whole story with Ashmanai, and he got thrown out, all that was left was Maklo, his staff. This is all that's left me from all the work of my life. What is that? Rav Shmuel Chadamar Maklo, Chadamar Gundo. One man, the Omar, says it was his staff, and the other one says it was his jacket that he had left from the days of his malchut, some say it was his canteen that he would walk around with. So he got into pretty bad shape. Now, hadar or lo hadar, did he go back to the malchut or not? So Rav Shmuel Chadamar hadar, v'chadamar lo hadar. One man, the Omar, says that he did become a melech again. Most learn this means he became a full melech again, meaning he came back to the totality of his malchut. The other one says that no, he only went back to being a getter of a nasi, but he was never chozer to the full malchus of Shlomo. So, man yomer lo adar means he was a melech vehedyot, relatively. Man yomer adar, melech vehedyot v'melech. Poreitz lasot lo derech, and then, in war, the booty is presented first to the king. Tanu Rabbanan, otzrot melachim bichlal go directly to the melech. It's not that he takes a part of it. Whatever was part of the captured malchut, the treasury of the king himself goes to the melech. Veshar biza shebozazin, and the rest of the booty of war is split. Mechzel, a melech, a mechzel, he can take as much as half of the booty if he wishes. Omale Abaya Rav Dimi, Omale Rav Acha, Bishlama Otzrot Malachim Lemelech. I understand that that's the Urcha Lemeulta. I mean, that's the Derech Eretz, is that in the Malchut, having taken over the Malchut, so the elements of the Malchut belong to the Malchut. That's completely understandable. But where do we get the idea that the overall booty is given not only for the Melech to select what he wishes first, but that he could take Mechza? Shar Bizah Shebozazim Mechza LaMelech Mechza La'am. Where do you get that from? Minol. Dichtiv, that's based on a pasuk, because it says over there that Vayimshechu Lashem Linagid. So this is from Divrei Hayomim, where they were making the simcha on the Malchut Shlomo. It says Vayochlu Vayishtu Lifnei Hashem Bayomahu Bisimcha Gedola. We don't have a record of a second Malchut of Shlomo. I mentioned to you when we were doing the Tanakh that the only remez to the rebellion when it comes to Shlomo is that they were mamlich him shenit. So that is vayimlichu shenit l'Shlomo ben David. And the lashon that it uses is vayimshechu l'Hashem l'nagid u'letzadok ha-kohen, la-kohen. Now why do we put together Tzadok ha-kohen and the Meshicha of Shlomo? So here, makish, nagid, so we understand now that the level of malchut is in some way compared to the din of Tzadok ha-kohen, who's the Kohen Gadol. So just like a Kohen Gadol, ma tzadok mechtza lo mechtza le'echav, he takes half of the lechem apanim, and the rest is given to the all the other kohanim. So too, nagid is mechtza lo mechtza le'echav. And what is the mekor for saying that tzadok gufe minolan? Tanya Rabbi Omer, Vaitala Aharon ulevanav. What do we say, la'aron ulevanav in the lechem apanim? To put the size of the chelek of Aharon to make it the equivalent of the chelek of banav. And therefore it teaches us mechtza le'aharon u'mechtza le'vanav, which is a nice drasha when they send tzedakah to the Rosh Hashiva, in which it's to you and to the Talmidim, as Rabbi Akiva was derish, same deal, mechtza, I take half. Meitlo meit, eno yotze mi petach platrit shelo Rabbi Yehonarim rotze latze, et achar amita yotze. Shekein matzino b'David, sheyatza achar mitato shel Avner, sheneemar v'amelech David alech achar amita. Omrulei, lo haya hadavar ela lefayes et ha'am. Ukishibavrim oto kol ha'musubim al ha'aretz, v'hu meisev al hadargash. Tan rabba. Mokom shenagun nashim latzit achar amita yotzot, lifnei amita yotzot. Rabbi Yomer lo olam nashim lifnei amita yotzot, shekein matzino b'David, sheyatza achar mitato shel Avner. Sheneemar v'amelech David alech achar amita. Omrulo lo haya hadavar ela lefayes et ha'am, v'nitpaisu. שהיה דוד יוצא מבין האנשים ונכנס לבין האנשים ויצא מבין האנשים ונכנס לבין האנשים שנאמר וידעו כל העם וכל ישראל כי לא הייתה מהמלך להמית את אבנר. דורא שרבא, מה הכתיב יבוא כל העם להברות את אבי? כתיב להחרות וכנינן להברות. בתחילה להחרותו ולבסוף להברותו. אומר רבי ירמיה, מפני מה נענש אבנר? מפני שהיה לו למחות בשאול ולא מיכה. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer Micha Velo Nana Ushnei Mikra Echadorshu Vaikonen HaMelech Al Avner Vayomer Akamot Naval Yamut Avner Yodech Alo Asurot Vaglech Alo Nukushtay Mugashu Man Yomer Lo Micha Otikoma Yodech Alo Asurot Vaglech Alo Nukushtay Mugashu My time Alo Machita Kinfol Lifnei Bnei Avla Nafalta Uman Yomer Micha Velo Nena Itmuhuye Mitame Akamot Naval Yamut Yodech Alo Asurot רגלך לא נרוכו שתיים, מכתי מחויים מחית, מי טיימה, כנפול לפני בני אבלה נפלת. So indeed, למד יום המיכה, מי טיימה, יאנוש, עום רב נחמן בר יצחק, ששהה מלכות בית אביד, שתי שנים ומחצה. וכשמעברים אותו, מי דרגש? עום הרולה, ארסה דגנה. עום אלי רבן הלולה, מי כמידי דיאד, אין לו את ביבנה, והשתם ודבין עליהם. מתקיב לו רבה, what the heck, מי קושר? דיום המידי נהבי אכילה ושתייה? The Adaidan Loach Yone, Veloach Yone, Vashta Koma Klin and Leva Gamashkin and Le, Ela Ikash, Akash, Dargash, Inotrik Lechafoto, Ela Zokvo, Visaka da Tech, Arsa de Gana, Amaya Notrik Lechafotova, Tanya, Hakofet, Mitatolum, Tetobil Vadu, Kofe, Ela Komi Tochi Eshu, Batoha Beto, Kofe, נו, מה קושר? דמות מי להווה מי זה מיוחדת לכלים? דקטרים, אם הייתה מיוחדת לכלים, אין עוד צריך לחף אותה. אלא היא קשה הקשר. שבן גמליאל אומר, דרגש מתיר קרביטין והוא נופל מאליו. איסה, כדאי לך ארסה דגדה, it doesn't have any קרביטין, קרביטין מידלי. אלא כי את הרבינו אמר, אמר לי, אומר רבונה, ורב תחליף השמי, דאב השכיח בשוק את הגולדוי, ואומרו לי, מהי דרגש ארסה דצלה? אומר רבי ירמה, רבי יוחנן, דרגש סירוגו מתוכו, מיטה סירוגה מעל גבה. מת וכלי עץ, ואם אתם מקבלים תומה, המיטה והריסה משופים באור הדג, ואם מיטה מסורגת מעל גבה, למה לי שיפת אור הדג? אלא הווה מתוכו, מיטה אולי ואפוקי בביזיוני, דרגש אולי ואפוקי באפקעתה. אומר רבי יעקב, אומר רבי יושב בן לוי, הלכה קרפשו בן מבליה. אומר רבי יעקב, הרמי מיטה שנקליטיה יוצאין, זוקפה ודיה. הוא מוציא למלחמת הרשות על פי ביתית של 71, הוא פורץ לעשות לו דרך ואין ממחה בידו, דרך המלך אין לו שיעור, וכל העם בוזזים ונותנים לו, והוא נותר חלק בראש. תנינו חודזים, אין מוציאים למלחמת הרשות אלא על פי ביתית של 71. Yeah, but that's a din in Beit Din. Here, I did tani kombili the melech. Tani na, mi moziin la milchemet harashut. Omer avi yonam shmur kol ha'amur, beparashat ha'melech, melech mutar bo. Rav amar lo nemra parasha zu elo la'ayem alayhem. Shneemar, som tasim alech ha'melech, shetei imato alecha, kitanoi. Rabbi Yossi omer, kol ha'amur beparashat melech, melech mutar bo lechatchila. Rabbi Yonam amar lo nemra parasha zu elo kitei la'ayem alayhem, shneemar som tasim alech ha'melech, שתיים אותו עליך. וכן היה רבי יהודה אומר, שלוש מצוות נצטבו ישראל בכניסתה לארץ להעמיד להם מלך ולהקריא זרע של המלאק לבנות להם בית הבחירה. רבי נוראי אומר לו, נאמרה פרשת זו כנגד תרעומתם, שאומר ואמר, תשימו עליי מלך, תנו רבי אליעזר מזקנים שבדור כהוגן שאלו, שאומר תנו לנו מלך לשופטנו, אבל מהארץ שבהם קלקלו, שאומר והיינו גם אנחנו ככל הגויים, ושופטנו מכיר ויצא לפנינו. תני רבי יוסי אומר שלוש מצוות נצטבו ישראל בכניסתן לארץ, להעמיד להם מלך, להחריץ זרו של המלאק, ולבנות להם בית הבחירה. והנה יודע איזה מהן תחילה, כשהוא אומר כי יד על כסקה מלחמה להשם בעמלאק, הווה אומר להעמיד להם מלך תחילה, ואין כיסא אל המלך, שמה וישב שלמה על כיסא השם למלך. ועדיין הנה יודע אם לבנות להם בית הבחירה תחילה, או להחליט זרו של המלאק תחילה, כשאומר וניח לכם מכל אויביכם, והיה המקום אשר יבחר השם, הווה אומר להחליט זרו של המלאק תחילה. וכן בדוד הוא אומר, והיה כי ישב המלך דוד בביתו, והשם הניח לו מסביב, ונוכתיב היום המלך על נתן הנביא, ראינו אנוכי יושב בבית הרזים. אומר שלוק, בתחילה מלאך שלמה על העליונים, שאומר ישב שלמה כיסא השם, ובסוף מלאך על התחתונים, שמגיעו רודם מכל עבר הנער, מתפסח ועד עזה. רב השבוע כאן אומר, תפסח בסוף עולם ועזה, בסוף עולם וחל אומר, תפסח בעזה ועד יעדוד היה ויעטווה. כי שם שמלאך על תפסח ועל עזה, כן מלאך על כל העולם כולו. ולבסוף לא מלאך על ישראל, שנאמר, אני קהלת הייתי מלאך על ישראל, ולבסוף לא מלאך על ירושלים, שנאמר, דברי קהלת בן דוד מלאך בירושלים. ובסוף לא מלאך על מיטתו שנאמר, הנה מיטתו של שלמה, ולבסוף לא מלאך על המקלו שנאמר, וזה היה חלקי מכל המלאים. רב שמו אחד אמר מקלו ואחד אמר גונדו. הדר או לא הדר? רב שמו אחד אמר הדר ואחד אמר לא הדר. מה אני אומר לא הדר? מלך ועדיות? מה אני אומר הדר? מלך ועדיות ומלך. הוא פורץ לעשות לו דרך תנו רבונה, עוצרות מלאכים למלך, ושאר בזה שבזים מחצה למלך ומחצה לעם. אומר לה, הבאי לרב דימי, ואמר לרבה חבי שלמה, עוצרות מלאכים למלך, אורך הדמילתא, אלא שאר בזה שבזים מחצה למלך ומחצה לעם מנולן, תכתיבה אם שכו לה השם לנגיד ולצדוק לכהן. מה כשנגיד לצדוק? מה צדוק מחצה לא מחצה לאחיו? אף נגיד מחצה לא מחצה לאחיו. צדוק גופי מנולן. תתניה רבי אומר, והייתה לאהרון ולבניו, מחצה לאהרון, ומחצה לבניו.